Blog Talk Radio.
Folks, welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda. I'm broadcasting from Oceanside, California, and thankfully today it is not raining. We've got 59 degrees, sunny and clear and wonderful. Welcome Rod Luke and Michael Magic to the show, and all those listening in their default players and elsewhere, and podcasts and all those things. We are brought to us on this network on Blog Talk by PatriotFamilies.com. That's PatriotFamilies with a YS. And please come join that site. We've got great things going on there, great group of people, all libertarian thinking, conservative-minded, patriotic Jeffersonian people. So come there. And we are, again, sponsored by that, so that's a wonderful thing. And I came directly from a meeting down at City Council, and they were talking basically about their budget proposals for 2013 through 2015. And of course, they're talking about things that many of us are against, and others for different reasons, you know, because they're not quite up to speed on it. However, they're coming around now. I was very happy to see my people in the audience with me. One of the gals across the way from me spoke after I did. She was probably number 9 or 8, and I can't remember how many speakers there were on that subject. But I was the first speaker. So what I want to do is give you the setup as to what they were saying and what they were trying to propose and what they were going to be voting on. I had to leave early to come and do the show, so I'm going to get an update from my friend Linda Walshaw, and she will let me know how they voted on these proposed items. And there's a lot of money involved in the city budget, and they were talking about getting rid of the red light cameras, which is good. They were talking about the Melrose extension, which many of us are against, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, follow the money, because these contractors and these NGOs, which I'll get into in a minute, and Agenda 21 is all part of this, and the one that I was completely against are these, the money that's going to be spent. Primarily, they want to do this reconstruction of the Coast Highway, with these roundabouts, traffic calming, which is all part of Agenda 21, and I'm completely against it. And they want to try to do these complete streets and have bicycle paths and all this stuff, and these you know, high-density buildings and corridors, which are all part of the transit corridors and this sustainable development nonsense. So when I got to speak, because they had their presentation, of course, from one of the city planners, and when I spoke, I explained to them that I was vehemently against this traffic calming. And I said, because it's especially the ones that are involved with this Agenda 21. And I just started reading from this article I got. It's called The Critical Thinker. And the woman who wrote this one, this came across on Facebook from Barbara Decker, who's a great champion of protecting property rights and the anti-Agenda 21 task force that we formed about 3.5 years ago. And this starts out, my name is Kristen T. Harris. This is the writer of this article. I have run for political office and have worked a political grassroots campaign for Ron Paul. I was nominated and elected to the GOP platform committee in 2012. I am a huge advocate for liberty and freedom. I am a libertarian at heart. I am also a news junkie and love a good mystery. Well, this headline says UN Agenda 21 Smart Growth is stealing your tax money. So this is how I started my speech. Your local police, firefighters, and unions need your help. And it goes on about, it gives the map of the Agenda 21, and then the article goes on. First, I recommend you read my first article on Agenda 21 to fully understand it. However, it is not required to get an above average idea of what is happening in your local community. This is a bipartisan issue. It does not matter what religion, race, or walk of life you are in. you and Agenda 21 will impact your life. I also want to make it clear that I support our local law enforcement and fire departments. I often am very hard on police state happenings. Our local police are on the front lines when it comes to justice, and it is not an easy job. They are the true upholders of the Constitution and need your support. Let's see. They need your support more now than ever. Your local unions need to be made aware of this issue. This bill is so real that we voted to put anti-smart growth language into the GOP platform last year in 2012. I want to also mention that what I am about to post is not your local government's fault or community's fault. They went to local meetings, put in their input, and were sold on sustainable development smart growth plan using the Delphi meeting techniques. One problem with sustainable development and smart growth is money is redirected from general funds that support your local police and firefighters into sustainable development fund. The money is being used to redevelop and designate city zones from residential, industrial, and commercial zones, and is rezoning them as blighted areas, allowing them to mix zones. This allows buildings which will have storefronts on the first floor and second levels of housing above it. First, I would like to point out these buildings are very expensive to run. Also, you will notice undoubtedly all of these buildings have for rent signs on them, and most of them are empty. The plan is to regulate everyone out of rural areas where natural resources are found and force them into the city, because natural resources are now worth more than human life, per UN Agenda 21 signed into onto by George H.W. Bush in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro and put in play by Bill Clinton. And all of this is substantiated. Welcome, Dean, and everyone in the chat room and everyone that's listening. Now, this is important because on what they talk about the Delphi meeting technique, and I'll get into the explanation in a second. It's a great article. I went to a meeting, several meetings with my task force, Heather Gass from up north, who is very, very knowledgeable, has been speaking out against Agenda 21 for a long, long time, explained the Delphi technique to us, and this article does as well. Developed by the RAND Corporation as a Cold War mind control technique, the Delphi system is used to channel a group of people to accept one's point of view. They impose their own ideas on you and lead you to believe that they are your own ideas. I should also point out this same technique was used in the 1970s and 80s to convince general landowners to rezone their local city. It can be used on a number of people from one person to the largest group. How it works is the trained facilitators present a variety of choices for the group, but have manufactured it so that they control the outcome. These are the most commonly used in local meetings held by your city, county, called vision meetings, to get your input on the city direction of 2022, etc. Money for these meetings generally comes from the President's Council of Sustainable Development in forms of grants given to your local government. The meetings are advertised as a great chance for you to give your input on exciting changes in your city's designs. The main point here is that you have no input, just comments and observations. Any comments outside of the pre-approved plan will be written down and thrown away later. Only supportive comments on the pre-approved plan will be accepted. This gives the illusion of public buy-in, and later your local officials can point out that they held local meetings, people attended, they took comments, and the community accepted the plan. So they're lying. The private consultant agency hired is usually trained in giving these kinds of meetings, later announces, here is your plan. Speakers usually include government officials, sometimes your mayor or council people, representatives from your local nonprofit organization, engineers and businesses who have interests in the development of their local community. However, in these meetings, the facilitator will show an impressive PowerPoint, stunning pictures of middle-class families, colored handouts, parks, high-speed trains, and a pleasant utopia. And I've been to those meetings just about 2.5 years ago in Escondido. And they will show you a map asking which colored zone you would like your city to grow. It should be noted that property owners seldom, if ever, in these areas are invited to these meetings. Your input and ideas will be taken as you write them down with crayons and gold stars like kindergartners. During Delphi meetings, people at the table are unaware that a large amount of people at their table have been briefed on the project and are told to manage their table. Yes, there are shills at every table. In larger meetings, they will be introduced as part of the organizing team, and that is the and that this is an open forum discussion, which it generally is not. It says, why should my local union police or firemen care? First of all, UN Agenda 21 is not a government policy. It is a UN policy. At any time, your local city can cut funds to sustainable development. Yes, there are local police that know about Agenda 21, as I know many police officers personally. Well, let me say now is the time to get involved. Expect your officials to get incredible amount of heat from their leaders in the party. The other thing is that it is 100% un-American. It is called communitarianism. You no longer have individual rights, but we must do what is in the best interest of the community. Collecting rainwater in 17 states is illegal and will land you up in jail if you don't mow your lawn, you will be fined. These are all unconstitutional. Most of our towns are providing funding and or infrastructure development for these private projects. They use redevelopment agency funds, your money, and more specifically, your property taxes. You will probably notice in your city that it has very little general funds. They are low, and that's money we can use to pay local police, hospital workers, and firefighters. Your streetlights may be getting turned off, your roads potholed, local parks torn apart, your local county hospitals may even be closing, and all that's happening here, right here in Oceanside. The money that should have been used for these things have been redirected to redevelopment. Notice local city property taxes have gone up in the last year or so. This is undoubtedly a huge contributing factor. It's crooked. If you are now angry, it's okay. You should be. And the question is posed, what can we do about UN Agenda 21, smart growth and sustainable development? First, you should know your city can immediately stop giving funds to smart growth and sustainable development. Cities all across America have rebuked this bill, even entire states, which Florida, I find, is on the list, and also Alabama. Alabama was the first, simply on the fact that it is not American legislation. These are plans given down by the United Nations, and they have no authority here in America. What to expect? Regardless of your political party, your mayor and city leaders will tell you every excuse in the book why they cannot get rid of it. I have found if you follow the money, you usually can find out who their funding is, where it's coming from. They will get pressure from bank-funded politicians, regardless of the party, saying this will kill your economy and that you hate the planet. That's what they'll say. That they will not get reelected lobbyists, and they won't get lobbyist fundings and grants. Don't believe them. I will tell you right now, leaders who are fighting this are being elected at an alarming rate. You may be painted as nuts. I have been. Or fringe have been, as this is typical government gaslighting. Most government officials do not even know what is in the bill. A perfect example is countless YouTube videos where politicians are one day away before passing a bill, and not one politician will have read thousand-page bills. You will find they pass them anyway. Think about this. Think about how they manipulated these meetings, and worse, yet made you feel like it was your own idea. So what happens when the UN steals from local police and firefighters and local taxpayers? It says this will let you afford your flower pots on Packard Avenue and your intern for social media that you are so concerned about. This should be the top issue at hand. Getting rid of UN Agenda 21, smart growth and sustainable development should be priority number one. We do not need the UN dictating where our money goes. And so that's that particular article. Of course, I only had 3 minutes to speak, so I definitely did not get to do the whole thing, but I tried to get the gist of it. What I'm going to do at the next time, I'm going to take little key phrases and make my own paragraphs so that they'll fit into the 3-minute timeline, and also give them the connecting of the dots and make sense of this to them, because they are not seeing it. Because they look at all these items on an agenda or on a budget plan, and they separate them. They look at them like they're separate, and they're not. It's all coordinated through this Agenda 21. It's all sustainable development. It comes from the Rio Summit and the Earth Charter, which I did mention to them today. Of course, it probably went over their heads. And this one I got from my friend Mary, who's been working diligently on this site called Exurbia Chronicles. And it says, the United Nations Civil Society Initiative in America. And she's explaining these NGOs, which are the non-governmental organizations, and they are very, very powerful. They're lobbyists, and they have stakeholders, and the people who have been sold on this inside our city councils, both parties, mind you, both sides, are thinking that these are the ways to go, and they're just being given money or dangled money in front of them, and they have all these public-private partnerships. They've got building associations. They've got developers, and everybody's out for their greed. Anyway, it says the United Nations Civil Society Initiative in America is the elevation of the NGO as a superpower. The members of civil society are to be actors outside the structure of government, and through its organizations operate at the same power stratum as the most powerful nations, though it is itself not a nation. Laced in and throughout the tapestry of our American culture are the ethics of our civil society. Civil society in America is supported and shaped by the fundamental godly truths and rights we are entitled to as individual members of society, and as declared in our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. American civil society, as such, upholds and supports the individual's interrelation within the family, the religious institutions, business, and the rule of law. These institutions of civil society have created prosperity, charity, and liberty. The civic virtues of volunteering and voting are fundamental examples of how our civil society is exceptional. Now it gets good. Within the last 50 years, however, the purpose of civil society has been thrown off balance. Inconspicuously and without great fanfare, the mainstream practice of individual civic virtue has diminished and been gradually replaced by stakeholders or non-governmental organizations, and we bracket that NGOs, that seek to advance common interests for the common good. Let's see, Stalin said that. When these NGOs influence public policy, we describe them as special interest groups. And this is where it also gets good, because you're going to hear some names that I've been hating for a long time. In the realm of sustainable development, extremist environmental justice NGOs such as the Sierra Club and Nature Conservancy or a social justice NGO like Build One America are exercising enormous influence and are demanding a restructuring of our society. These new members of civil society diminish our inalienable rights and elevate themselves as progressive arbiters and judges of the course for humanity. These non-governmental organizations are often funded by wealthy corporations and individuals who want to expand their sphere of influence, kind of like Soros and Maurice Strong. Taxpayers unwittingly fund these NGOs when states offer grants, see, they're dangling money, and agree to enter into public-private partnerships with them to implement sustainable development via the Agenda 21 blueprint. The United Nations and its American proponents use this new breed of civil society to its advantage. In a relentless effort to implement global governance, the United Nations elites understand that to succeed, they have to reorient the values and ethics of all nation states toward a common global civic ethic. They also recognize that reform must occur at the local level, which is your city councils and your city planners. Building on the 1987 Brundtland Commission report, Our Common Future, which introduced the world to the concept of sustainable development, the UN elites in 1994 unveiled their new civil society initiative, the Earth Charter. The values within the Earth Charter were to be the new global covenant that all nation states would embrace. Now, the 1992 Agenda 21 Blueprint for Living in the 21st Century, along with Our Global Neighborhood 1996, provided the strategies and the structure for the implementation of this global civic ethic. Hey, Bill, the recommendations within Our Global Neighborhood advanced the idea that if the UN elites could harness the civic virtue of NGOs and elevate their status to a qualified member of civil society, then they could redirect the values and ethics of a nation state, which would be the United States. Each NGO member of the UN civil society organization has signed a global compact pledging to support the 10 principles prescribed and express intent to advance these principles within their sphere of influence. It says, the UN Global Compact overview page explains the type of participants and stakeholders they are looking for. The UN Global Compact is the world's largest corporate citizenship and sustainability initiative. Since its official launch on July 26, 2000, the initiative has grown to more than 10,000 participants, including over 7,000 businesses in 145 countries around the world. It is a network-based initiative with the Global Compact Office and 7 UN agencies at its core. Anything coming out of the UN's evil anyway. The Global Compact involves all relevant social actors, companies whose action it seeks to influence, governments, labor, civil society organizations, and the United Nations, the world's only truly global political forum, as an authoritative convener and facilitator. The UN Global Compact website features an extensive database of participants that include by category, United Nations agencies, business associations, labor, civil society, academic participants, public sector, and cities. The city and the county of San Francisco is a participant, as well as many U.S. college-level institutions such as Berkeley College, Harvard Business School, MIT, and the State University of New York, or SUNY, S-U-N-Y. The business associations, like the American International Chamber of Commerce, the San Francisco Carbon Collaborative, oh Lord, and the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce are listed as well. Well, you see, we've connected those dots. It goes on, in America, these UN-accredited and or U.S.-sponsored members of civil society organize the local, boots-on-the-ground members who are prepared to lobby on policy issues related to environmental, economic, and social justice. They're doing it every day. The 20th century suffragette movement is a positive example of how an NGO within civil society can garner support at a grassroots level and affect change. However, a majority of today's stakeholder civil society NGOs presume to know and represent the will of the people and act on its behalf to redirect America's core values to support a global civil society that inherently subsumes our inalienable rights. And that's the end of that article. So again, thank you guys for joining me, FT, everybody that's there. Yeah, you guys call in. Let me get through this little piece, and then you guys can call in and talk about this, because the meeting was amazing. When I came today, I was one of the first ones there, and the chamber was empty as the dais filled up with the mayor and the city council members. This whole place was packed. There was one police officer, a couple firefighters. There were people from the library. There were people from all these different organizations. Unbelievable. I mean, all my people who show up to try to speak were there. And I, again, was the first speaker. And, of course, a lot of this falls on deaf ears. What I'm going to read to you now is my new book I'm working on, which is about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And in the prologue, they start, it was July 27th, 1945, London, and they quoted 2 Corinthians 4:8-12. So I wanted to read that one. It sounded so nice. It's, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always hearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. So that was 2 Corinthians. And I was getting into... He was just... Rod was making comments. Anyway, it's the inside cover. I was going to give you a little bit of this book because there were things I didn't know and things that we need to learn about this man. And it talks about Adolf Hitler. It says, as Adolf Hitler and the Nazis seduced a nation, bullied a continent, and attempted to exterminate the Jews of Europe, a small number of dissidents and saboteurs worked to dismantle the Third Reich from the inside. One of these was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a pastor and author known as much for such spiritual classics as The Cost of Discipleship and Life Together as for his 1945 execution in a concentration camp for his part in the plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler, which I did not know, but I'm finding out more. It says, in the first major biography of Bonhoeffer in 40 years, New York Times bestselling author Eric Metaxas takes both strands of Bonhoeffer's life, the theologian and the spy, and draws them together to tell a searing story of incredible moral courage in the face of monstrous evil. In a deeply moving narrative, Metaxas uses previously unavailable documents, including personal letters, detailed journal entries, and firsthand personal accounts to reveal dimensions of Bonhoeffer's life and theology never before seen. In Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy, A Righteous Gentile versus the Third Reich, Metaxas presents the fullest accounting of Bonhoeffer's heart-wrenching 1939 decision to leave the safe haven of America for Hitler's Germany, and using extended excerpts from love letters and coded messages written to and from Bonhoeffer's cell, number 92, Metaxas tells for the first time the full story of Bonhoeffer's passionate and tragic romance. Readers will discover fresh insights and revelations about his life-changing months at the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, and about his radical positions on why Christians are obliged to stand up for the Jews. Metaxas also sheds new light on Bonhoeffer's reaction to Kristallnacht, his involvement in the famous, you're going to love this, the famous Valkyrie plot, and in Operation 7, the effort to smuggle Jews into neutral Switzerland. Bonhoeffer gives witness to one man's extraordinary faith and to the tortured fate of the nation he sought to deliver from the curse of Nazism. This book is amazing. Basically, he came from an aristocratic family. His mother was a teacher. His father was a surgeon, I believe. I know he was a doctor, possibly a psychiatrist. Eye in the Sky, welcome. All the guests, welcome to the show. And the number is 646-378-0321 if you'd like to call in and speak your mind. We have a great audience this evening. I, again, went to this meeting, and I got home in time to do the show. Like I said, the people that were there, they filled the whole arena. And this was 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Oceanside City Council meeting. So I did speak my mind on Agenda 21. Again, I was trying to read from other people's articles, and I need to do a more concise 3-minute speech for these folks. I'm really going to be excited to finish this book, and it's huge. It's got probably 600 or 700 pages, and it's just simply Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, and Spy by Eric Metaxas. So I did finish my Road to Serfdom, and that was enlightening enough. So this should be quite fantastic and thrilling. I know how it ends, and I know how courageous Bonhoeffer was at the end. I don't have the in-between. That's what I need. I need all the in-between stuff and what he went through and how he had to travel back and forth from America and Germany and trying to save the Jews and defeat Hitler. Unfortunately, it had to come to an end differently for him. But anyway, again, Bill, if anyone wants to call in, FT, Michael Magic, 646-378-0321. I know that Yola's been kind of tired, so she's not here today, but Ron said he's traveling off to buy a squirt gun. And so he said he'll try to come in later. So that was my experience today at the city council. It was called a workshop meeting, but basically what they do, since they're a charter city now, they run them a little differently. It wasn't one of those neighborhood vision meetings, which I explained in the Delphi techniques. However, we miss Hollis too, but Yola said she was going to put in another call or text message to him, so maybe he'll respond. Again, anybody would like to call in for the last half hour of the show, you're welcome to do so. And we've got a lot of things, of course, to talk about. We've got the nonsense with the Capitol Hill, the POTUS of the United States, the evil one, screaming and hollering about sequestering. And it's a nightmare. And we've got crazy people spending our taxpayer dollars. Why the Congress keeps funding it, I don't know. Probably part of the global effort to make a global new world order. This idiot, I can't remember his name, but he got $200,000 for this session where he was brainwashing these people and having them repeat these chants about the the pilgrims didn't show their passports to the Indians. I couldn't believe it. So this is your waste, fraud, and abuse on the national level. On the local level, at least we had some input today, and they were consciously trying to decide how to save the city some money. And during the meeting, my friend Linda Walshaw was there, and I passed her a note because I had heard quite a bit on this, you know, there are people throwing around these smart growth words and traffic calming words like it was nothing. And so I passed her a note, and I said, because she knows how I feel about California and wanting to get out of it, I said, Indiana is so beautiful this time of the year. And she just cracked up when she read my note because she knows exactly what I want to do, because I would love to get out of here, but you know, the timing isn't right yet, so I'm just biding my time and standing where I need to stand. And there's many, many meetings coming up in our local situations. March 15th is one of them for the Mobile Homeowners Association, and also Saturday is the Day of Resistance. I will be going to one of those, I believe, at about 2:15 in the afternoon this Saturday, where hopefully many patriots will show up. I also heard a rumor they were supposed to have the lefties for the anti-gun nuts. We're going to have candlelight vigil down here at the Oceanside Library to, you know, talk about taking, you know, gun confiscation. They're probably perfectly okay with it. And I do believe we have Mr. Magic on the line. Welcome, sir.
Hi, Linda. How are you and everyone in our chat room this evening?
How's it going?
Well, Linda, I think it's what we're not seeing. I think some of the things that we're not hearing about, that we're not seeing about, okay, I think a lot of different things that are going on currently were meant to keep us busy,
okay,
including Agenda 21, gun control. But what we're not hearing about a whole lot anymore is, we're not hearing about Wall Street. We're not hearing about the banking industry. We're not hearing about, especially, what Obamacare is going to do to businesses and employees in this country. You want to talk about bankrupting America? That is going to do it. And we're not hearing about those things because they keep us busy in so many different ways, Linda, you know?
Oh, exactly. That's what's going on with me. It was Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and today. I mean, I just got inundated with emails from everywhere on Agenda 21, Facebook, more of the same, candlelight vigils, anti-gun nuts, patriots going over here. You know, exactly. Nobody's focused on what they should be focusing on, and that's why I like to read from Scripture when I start my shows, or at least partway through the show, because it's so uplifting, and we do, I think I've got 941, you're on the air. Is that Robert?
That's me. What's going on, Ms. Linda?
Hey, we're just trying to solve the world's problems, and I know that the only one can do that is the Lord. So we, and I pray on this stuff, Michael, believe me, every night. I think about it. I ask him to show me the way, give me the right words to try to explain to the people. But I did get through to my neighbor and the lady from Morro Hills, and even Polly, who's kind of a lefty in our group, of today's group, in Oceanside, fighting for people's rights, et cetera. And she, because what caught her eye, and this was so important, just the headline, and that's how I got the attention of these gals. And the more they learn, and I explained to one of the gals, I said, Aaron, I says, what we're learning about this is that, like your areas with the farming and stuff, I says, all this stuff is lumped into one thing. They do not want you to have private property or private farms. They want you off the off those rural areas and into the cities, and it's all part of this plan, which will take a long time to complete it. And at the end of the road, it is not pretty. It will make the Ukraine under Stalin look like a walk in the park by comparison. It will not be fun, and people just don't understand that. But little by little, I'm spoon feeding at least the public, so maybe we can get more saying the same things I'm saying. And again, I have to redirect my paragraphing and my phraseology so that I can get through to the city council and just continue until something I say clicks. You know what I mean? There's got to be that magic moment like I had with these two gals today, and one on Monday. So I've got three now thinking the way I'm thinking, and to at least do some homework and research what's going on with these people and find out what's behind all this. You know, some of the kids understand the follow the money deal, and they're only following it up so high, possibly to these the state representatives in our U.S. Congress. But they're starting to see the light, which is encouraging to me, even here in California. So, yeah, I'll tell you. And there's a whole group of people in Orange County who have lawsuits now. They're going up against the Public Utilities Commission and their local energy companies, saying, you know, get these smart meters out of our neighborhoods and get them out now. We're not doing this anymore. They're standing up and fighting it, which is wonderful. So the more we get to do this, I don't call them greenies anymore. I call them gang greenies because that's what they are. So what say you, Robert?
Oh, I'm just fighting like you are, Linda.
Good. Yeah. Excellent.
That's all we can do. I'm beginning just to ignore listening to all this stuff.
Well,
there's not going to be the only solution to the problem is forming a third party. We got to form a third party. I mean,
I'm with you on that one, but I don't. At this point, we could try that, but I think that things are going to melt down sooner than we would like. And I think there's going to be in this. I think it's going to get, and I'm not sure when the financial meltdown is going to be. Somebody says between 3 to 10 years. I'll take time so I can pay off some of my bills and organize myself a little bit better and prepare to vacate the state of California because I'm out of here as soon as I can get out. But I'm
telling
here.
You, I say by 2014.
Oh, because what Mike was talking about with the Obamacare is going to get worse by every single day and every week and every month as this thing progresses. Now, I've heard some positive things that the Senate's trying to stop and trying to gut some of these areas of the bill until if they could ever get their act together and get a constitutional person in the White House and they could just repeal the whole thing. Or if the Senate back, they can override vetoes from a left-wing president, if that makes sense. But they have to have a majority in the Senate in order to do that. They can't do it just by wishing it so. The people who were chanting Obama all the time for two terms, two election cycles. Wait till they see how their hours get cut. Wait till they see how horrible this bill is, and the death panels and the lack of care, you know, and how they're doing things. Even in, of course, California, I can't stand. This state's just gone completely bonkers. Talking about because of the shortage of doctors, because the doctors are smart and they're getting out of this business. They know what's coming. They haven't gotten to the place yet where they're trying to force the doctors who are staying in it. In other words, if they want to think about vacating and going away, they will be forcing them to be doctors, whether they want to or not. This is how totalitarian this is. This is evil. It's one of the most evil things that's ever happened to this country. I mean, you know, the Federal Reserve was the beginning, in my estimation. But, well, the Civil War, and then after that, Woodrow Wilson. But, you know, it's craziness what's going on out there. People have no idea. All these employers are going to cut their hours. They're going to cut their staff. They're going to cut their payroll, and they're not going to offer health care anymore. Everybody's going to be forced onto this single-payer situation, which will skyrocket the price. The level of care will be worse than Canada and Britain. I'm telling you, that's what's coming. And then the idiots will wake up. You know, this is how it always goes, because the pendulum swings. You know, when I was talking yesterday, we were talking about what Mark Levin said. He said, yeah, the system's broken and the morals and virtues have gone down the drain. But this is part of the plan, Michael, because I do believe way back, right during the Reconstruction period of this country, the communists and the elitists saw an opportunity to infiltrate our churches and infiltrate all of our institutions of learning, etc. And they've done a good job. They have taken the Communist Manifesto and just bore it into the hearts of the youth, and it's working right now, as you can see. Look at the food stamp participation. Look at the depression-like era we're living under. The loss of freedoms. They're talking about taking away the Fourth Amendment in the state of Washington and allowing police to twice a year go to people's homes who they think have registered guns that they don't like and make sure they're locked up in a safe so they can't even use them to defend themselves without a warrant. This is what's going on right now in this country. I can't take it anymore. I don't know. There's nowhere to run and hide. You know, I can't even understand that the people in that state haven't just literally gone up in arms by the millions and just said, no, just go. No, we're not doing this. It's Orwellian. It absolutely is. What say you guys?
Well, I just hope, pray for the best. I just live every day to the fullest, and that's all you can do.
There you go. Of course, it does.
You know, if we're all going to run out of money, Linda, we're all going to run out of money.
Well, okay, that's why I'm hoping that by the time the bank holiday hits, that I'm not in California at that point, because I will have plenty of acreage to own food, believe me,
you just don't know. Like when it said sequestration, Linda, you know, here you see this president, you know, getting all these, you know, the law enforcement behind them and saying how they're going to lose their jobs, which I thought was just how they could just stand up there right there, you know, being his puppet. Puppets and blaming Congress when it was his plan to begin with, and then he switches. Just listening to it, the more I listen to it, Linda, more frustrated I get. I go, why even bother listening to these? You know what? And why even listening to this stuff? The guy is crippling one party to its knees,
mm-hmm.
Number one, and that's his plan.
It's obvious.
It's just so obvious. I mean, let's face it, we're a third world country now.
Well, we're getting close.
We're doing this to a second-rate third world country, Linda.
Oh, and guess what? China's trying to hack into our computers and government systems and all that stuff. And with that's with the one hand. And the other hand, they want to come in through the Mexican border, right? And take what Obama has promised them, which is our natural resources. My head's going to explode, and nobody sees this coming. Nobody's paying attention.
Well, people have to make up their own minds now. I mean, he's a popular president. Like, well, you know, the guy's got it down. He knows how to schmooze, and he's
he was planted by the globalists, and I think Michael can talk to that because he knows that when we cast our votes at, since God knows how far back this goes, that these people have been micromanaging all of this stuff. Many very smart people who actually used to be on the left and have come over to the side of light have figured this out and talked about it. I know David Horowitz talked about the Clintons and the Soros and the rest of the elites and the very, very wealthy banksters, I'm sure, and other interest groups planted this guy. They had that meeting, and everybody that's been kind of on these shows for a long time remembers that Bilderberg meeting, and all of a sudden Barry's the fair-haired child and Hillary had to take a back seat. This was all planned. They planted him. They needed him for their race card and, you know, to dupe and dump down the American public further.
He's really got the race card down.
Oh, yeah.
I got
Mr. Bill Strong on the line, too. Welcome, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm just sitting here doing fine. I'm sitting here with Chad, and we're listening.
Good.
And, you know, Linda, they want to get us going in all different directions, and they've done a very damn good job at that. Even with the Tea Party groups, you know, nobody is focused on in one direction. Although on the left, they are. They are focusing in one direction, and they keep going in that direction.
Yeah.
While they keep throwing all this stuff at us to keep us in this direction.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, it's overwhelming, and that's what they want to do. But a lot of this stuff at some point is going to blow up in their faces because this, not to use an Agenda 21 word, but when we talk of unsustainable in the financial realm, it really truly is. This bubble's going to blow up in their faces, and everybody knows it, everyone who has half a brain. And Obamacare, I think, is going to fold in on itself. I think that with all the states who are refusing to do it, you know, it's going to fold in on itself. This guy's going to have more egg on
it. That's the problem.
Nobody can. And you know what? I think that
we cannot afford the Affordable Health Care Act.
Right.
It's so ironic.
It is. And what's funny to me, kind of poetic justice, is this guy, Barry, I call him, is going to have so much egg on his face when he finally gets booted out of that White House, and God knows what's going to replace him. If it's Hillary, then I think I'll go to Costa Rica. I don't know. I'm not sure. But
you know what I find would be amazing, Linda?
What's that?
Would be if this did get thrown out, because that would mean this thing was in for, 2 years, and then thrown out, and less than 3% of the public ever read it.
Oh, I know. Oh, of course not.
Oh, there was things in there that was never been revealed to the public yet. There's already home inspections, people.
Yep.
They're in the healthcare bill. There's already telling you how to raise your kids and what to teach your kids.
Yep.
It's in the healthcare bill.
Agenda 21, global governance.
Who are the 15 entities that are in charge of all this? They haven't told you yet, have they?
Nope, but I'll tell you, I know some of them. DHS is involved, HHS, the IRS. All these NGOs, there's tons of it. It's horrible what's going on.
How about SEIU?
Oh, yeah. Well, those guys, because, see, they thought
these
that...
These are the people. These 15 entities will be the people who decides who gets health care, what they pay for, what kind of health care you can have,
You know, when you talk about...
People,
I know, people that don't read anything... That healthcare bill is like 2,700 god awful pages, and when I look at the Declaration and the Preamble and the Constitution, it's a very little thin pocket sized book. You know, I don't expect too many people to read what's in that 2,700 pages. But my God, if you can't even get them to open up a small package of our little Constitution, how could you even?
Exactly. Yeah. Look. Washington State, that little wall deal they just had going on there. And in there it was how they were going to come and inspect homes and stuff for guns.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was exactly.
And the people who voted on this said, I never read that part of it. I never read it all. Well, then what? Seven pages. Seven stinking pages.
I know.
I got to say this. We should have some kind of test to give these people we elect. A test that measures how fast they can read. Because apparently these people we've been elected are the slowest reading people on the planet.
They don't read anything, Bill.
Exactly,
Michael. That's my whole point.
That's what we were talking about yesterday when I said you're addressing five-year-olds with Down syndrome. That's what it feels like. These people are retarded. Look at Charlie Rangel. Look at Clyburn. Look at the other one that thought Guam was going to tip over.
Well, there you go. How many times has Rangel been, confronted in front of the Senate, and he still keeps getting elected?
Yep. And up
when you know someone's a criminal, and you keep voting for them, what does that say about you?
I know. It's horrible. Yeah, our body politic has been so dumbed down. And, you know, you've got people. Well, you could do your own little test. But I used to watch years ago Jay Leno when I stayed up that late because I like to watch his jaywalking things. And a lot of people have been doing this on your YouTube things and all the conservatives. They go out on the beach or whatever and they talk to 20, 30 different people and ask very simple questions that you and I would know the answers to. And these people are clueless, absolutely clueless. They do not know. They don't even know who their own vice president of the United States is. I don't care whether it's Foyle or Cheney or it doesn't matter. Current, past or present. They just don't know. They know nothing. If you say, if I threw out Cass Sunstein, they'd think I was talking Martian. I mean, they wouldn't know who that was. Or Soros or Maurice Strong or anything about Ted Turner. Nothing.
Yeah. You had that thing, too. It's like people are blind to people from their own areas. They're wrongs. I see a whole lot of people from Texas that still think the Bushes was great. Well, they don't know that the Bushes was two of the biggest promoters of Agenda 21 and all
exactly.
The stuff that's going on.
Oh, yeah, because in 1992, I think it was 92, prior... It was prior to George H.W. signed the first one, and then Clinton did the sustainable development nonsense through his administration, and of course Barry just...
With no congressional or senator people. He did it on his own. To an executive order with the UN.
Yep, and so did, I think Baby Bush did the same thing.
Yes, he did.
So, and then of course Piglosi is out there at 90, right after the Earth Summit and the Earth Charter and all this nonsense. Well, the Earth Charter was 1994, which is bad enough. Because you got to go, yeah.
I came out in 2005 a little bit. In 2006, my little group got shot to the top of the things against illegal immigration. We did something no one else had ever done, much to our own surprise. And it got us noticed, and we started putting the word out and talking about things and traveling.
Good.
And that's when I started – the whole illegal immigration thing is what led me into Agenda 21.
Wow.
When I was looking, what's behind it?
Yes.
What's behind this drive?
Sure. It's to overwhelm the system.
And I found it. It was to assist in this. It's part of the destruction of the culture.
And the financial.
And look, do you not see the culture from, let's say, what we had 30 years ago? Look at the culture today.
Oh, my gosh. I think the
culture is being destroyed. A lot of these people who come here, they don't assimilate.
No, they don't. This is what was – well, because – when you talk about immigration, just like
when
we were talking
about immigration, yeah. I'm sorry, but those who come legally and follow the path and have that much respect, they tend to assimilate.
Yep,
those who come from across the border don't.
And here's the thing. One of the reasons that they come here is because there's all these liberals, with the keys to the vault. Yeah,
reasons they come here, Linda.
Well, yeah, welfare, food stamps, and jobs, and
hospital. Well, that's not just it. They come here, a lot of them, looking for that liberty and the freedom and an opportunity.
Right.
Something they don't have in their home countries.
I know.
Instead of our country putting pressure on their countries to change their attitudes towards their people and to build production there and, you know, get involved in world trade or whatever and produce for their own countries. But our country's more interested in getting them to come here, using them for cheap labor, using them for political agenda.
Yep.
And the whole time, you know, they're being used and they don't, and the sadness is they're being used and they're being set up so
right.
that when Agenda 21 does take place and the world depopulation starts kicking in, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to those people.
Oh, yeah. Who knows? I mean, I don't know who's higher up on the food chain.
If there ain't nobody allowed out into the forestry and stuff, you're not going to have a whole lot of people doing landscaping, are you?
No. You won't have a lot of, you know, well, you know that the agenda on the Agenda 21 is to depopulate this planet. These guys are nuts. They are the worst.
I have never been against the people that came here for the reason that they came here or color of skin or anything like that. Why I'm against it, I'm going to tell you. I have a cousin who's married to a Filipino lady, has been for many, many years, and she's an American citizen now and has been for many years.
Right.
But her younger sister has been waiting in line 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
10 years, Linda, and she still can't come here because there's a, you know, people coming from the Philippines, there's a set amount that can come. But people who come in illegally, there is no set amount on.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And
what's going they're on.
Them people that come here illegally are holding back those that have been waiting in line and following the legal path. And to let these others step in front of them in the line is spitting in their face.
Yeah.
It's a mockery of morality.
Well, there's a lot of injustices going on, as you know, and the problem is, you know, very few of us are standing up and fighting against the injustices, and the systems are all broken, as we know. And when they started, and I know Michael will probably like this part of it because it's true, back in 1887, these the commies and the left-leaning people of the elites have started infiltrating all of our churches. I mean, from the Catholics to the Baptists to everybody in between, and they have been implementing their views. And this is one of the reasons why even churchgoers who are not going strictly by the Bible, they're going the way of all things, and that's to, you know, straight to hell, and fomenting this stuff. It's crazy.
Well, you know, when you're a child, you'll do something and you'll try to hide it from your parents and you'll make some story up, right?
Right.
Well, that's what we have, only these aren't children, they're adults.
I know.
And that's what they do. They make stories up to cover their things. So if you're...
I got about 2 minutes
here,
left. I'm running out of time. Go ahead.
If you're here, you're some kind of weirdo out there and stuff, well, you're going to cover that by saying, well, that's not a sin or that's not...
Yeah.
You know, that's what we got.
I know, and I want to thank you for calling, and Michael and Robert and everyone out there, FT, Rod, Eye in the Sky, thanks so much for tuning in, and I'm going to put a little Founding Fathers Battle Gun Grabbers from the Grave just a little bit, and I want to say God bless everybody and hope to see you next week, and tune in for Terry's show tomorrow. I'll come in as much as I can, but I have a catering job, so God bless you guys so much, and have a great, great night. Let me play this.
You too.
Thanks.
God bless and hope to see you.
The Second Amendment to the Constitution.
Yep.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
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 The Founding Fathers agree. Armed citizens make good government.
I ask, sir, what is the militia?
It is the whole people.
Who is the militia? Are they not ourselves?
To disarm the people, that is the best and most effective way to enslave them. George Mason.
Congress have no power to disarm the militia. Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. Tench Cox, 1788.
The Constitution preserves the advantage of being armed, which Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, where the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. James Madison, Federalist, number 46.
A free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. George Washington.
The Founding Fathers created the Bill of Rights, enshrined individual protections, including the Second Amendment, because they understood that power inherently corrupts. The Bill of Rights was set up to try to discourage...
Good night, Robert. Thanks. I think we're off air.
Well, yeah, take care, Linda.
Okay, God bless. I hope to see you on the next shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Hang in there.
Okay, hon. Good night.
All right. Good night.